The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
It was disappointing not getting into Cozumel and being hung up in Belize so long, but other than that, I mean, they did everything they could to try to, you know, make it as pleasant as possible. We definitely plan on going again. I mean, it was fun.
The Ebola ship has docked, and it turns out no Ebola in sight. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. What a way to kick off this show, huh? There was a lot of panic over the fact that a worker tied to Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital was on a ship, then decided to isolate herself, and the fear was, oh no, close contact with Thomas Duncan, who died of Ebola. This is a ship. It could be a floating Ebola virus. Talk about a petri dish exploding in the wrong direction. Luckily, it turns out, no signs of Ebola. Although the cruise ship tried to dock twice, once in Belize and once in Mexico, and they said no. Even the Secretary of State, John Kerry, got involved, and they didn't care, meaning they were having no parts of it in Belize because they didn't want any chance of Ebola coming to them through this Texas lab worker on the cruise ship. But tested negative for Ebola, thank goodness. In the meantime, you have the Dallas Hospital itself taking out huge ads to apologize for the Ebola era, saying that they're a great hospital with great people and patients and doctors, and everybody should feel good about it, but they made some mistakes, and they apologize for that. Do you think that mea culpa is just a little bit too late? Because they're starting to see that people are canceling appointments. They're afraid. They're afraid to go there. And because it wasn't one thing, but it was another thing and another thing, you know, the two different nurses, the stories that came out that they weren't covered correctly because their necks were exposed, and then that's believed how they may have gotten Ebola. Either way, there were a lot of things that were missed at the hospital, making people very uncomfortable, uncomfortable enough that longtime patients of doctors who were housed out of that hospital were starting to cancel appointments. So it makes sense that the CEO would apologize, admit the mistakes, and say, we're doing everything right, we're moving forward, all that kind of stuff. But I think they still have a huge problem on their hands. Believe it or not, there's actually some other things happening besides Ebola. We do have an Ebola czar now, and that was the big news heading into the weekend. Isn't it interesting? You know, John McCain was one of the cheerleaders for that idea, for having a czar, because there is nobody minding the store when it comes to health, in a sense, since we don't have a Surgeon General. I mean, we certainly have people in charge at various organizations, but then we see what happens. We look at the problems that we had with the CDC and some of that connection to the Texas hospital and what was said about Ebola. So certainly Dr. Tom Frieden isn't the guy to be the czar. But the president made a political appointment, I think, in Ron Klain as the Ebola czar. So Ron Klain, believe it or not, is connected to Solyndra. Remember Solyndra? Everything that people felt about the idea of the panels after the fact when the Chinese were making them cheaper. Yes, he has a connection there. So here's the thing. Other names were suggested, like Ben Carson, who is a neurosurgeon, a former director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital, no less. So he has the medicine background. Also, Bill Frist was suggested, because you remember He was a surgeon, too. People forget that. He was a surgeon before he went into politics. So there were other names that were kind of on a list being circulated, but that's not the direction that the president went. They decided instead to go with Ron Klain as the guy who's going to run this thing. I mean, here's the deal. If he's a political appointment, whatever he is, appointment, and he's handling this situation now, he's the point guy, the president and the White House better hope that he knows how to orchestrate and delegate to the correct people should we have some more problems with this in the very near future. Because remember, you still have incubation going on or quarantine going on, not with a chunk of the people that came in contact with Duncan, including his fiance. That's up. It just TikTok expired, the 21 days on that. But you still have other people who are in that quarantine mode. And when, you know, when are they coming out of it, and who do they have a brush with, which would be the nurses? That's going to be key. And that's going to be key for Klain to keep his eye on and to be able to watch and see and monitor what's happening, or at least certainly have the people around him that are smart enough to be able to do that. Because, again, you are the traffic cop, and you got to be on top of it. This has been the problem all along, not being on top of things and not making Americans feel like, okay, we have a handle on this. We know what we need to do. We know where we need to go. Now, remember, too, with the fiancé and her son and the two nephews being done with the quarantine officially on Monday, fiancé is already saying she plans to write a book, and she's going to tell her side of the story of what happened and being under, you know, house arrest, essentially, and what it was like dealing with him. And then, boom, he's off and he's sick, and then it's Ebola, and what happened step by step as far as her family dealing with it, the decontaminating their apartments and all that sort of thing. It would be kind of interesting to hear her point of view, I think, especially after the 21 days. But where that spread and what happens with the two nurses now is where the tracking is. What's going on with the two nurses and anybody close to them that was quarantined? How are they doing? So far, by all accounts, pretty well. You have one, Amber Vinson, who's in a Maryland hospital, and then you have Nina Fahn, who is in Atlanta at Emory, both one of the four places that has the best isolation facilities in this country, reason why they were moved there. So let's see them come out on the other side, and what about the people that they were close to? How are they faring? Coming up on America Tonight, a couple of great guests, including Donna Anderson, who is a woman who has had to navigate in the world without sight, and she actually talks about something interesting of how to deal with meeting people with disabilities, and how sometimes it's odd that there's sort of this weird dance that people do, whether it's a blind person or they have some other disability that they're grappling with and just going through their everyday life. How is it, and how do you encounter them, and what are some of the things that you can do to just feel more comfortable and just treat them like everybody else? Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, October 15th, 2014, gold opened at $1,246.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,292.55, $646.27 for a half ounce, or $323.14 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,292.55, $646.27, and $323.14.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Anderson. Donna Anderson grew up blind. She's got a wonderful dog named Wella, and she talks to people about disability as a possibility. When you encounter people with different disabilities, how do you react? And also in the workplace and other aspects, people who happen to have a disability, how do you treat them as customers? So, Donna, thanks for coming on the show. And first of all, tell everybody how you lost your sight.
I was born 2.5 months prematurely, and typically premature babies tend to have problems with their vision. And I could see newsprint, and I actually wanted to be an artist, but my vision was never very good. I was considered legally blind, so I always had some vision issues. And then at the age of 10, kind of a bad situation got worse, and I lost pretty much all of my functional vision about that time. And adolescence is tough enough without having to acquire a disability at the same time. But what I noticed at that point was that there were people who had previously been familiar to me. And all of a sudden, once I had acquired a definite disability, those individuals all of a sudden became very uncomfortable approaching me. It was like communication was very uncomfortable. They avoided using any kind of visual terminology. They were very uncomfortable using words like see or watch or or anything like that. And I don't think I realized it at that time, but that became a very driving force and made me very much who I am today, because I realized that I had to reach beyond my own adolescent self-consciousness at that point, and I had to be the one to instigate social situations and to reach out to people and to make them comfortable with me, or I would never have a life.
What do you, I mean, what do you tell people now at this point who, as you said, try to avoid saying see or things that they think would be offensive to you because you're not sighted?
I say, to me, it makes the conversation a lot more uncomfortable when people try to avoid using certain words. Those of us who can't see or hear or walk, you know what, we kind of know that we can't do those things. And it's just a normal speech pattern to say, hey, did you see this? Or, hey, let's go walk up the street or whatever. And I don't avoid using those same terms with people who can't do those things.
Yeah.
I talk to any of my friends who have disabilities in the same manner that I do my able-bodied friends. So yeah. Nobody's going to get offended.
Yeah. And which, by the way, you've had, obviously, and you still are having, a very full life. I met your son, and, you know, tell us about your family. I mean, you just have a normal family. Well, normal as any normal can be, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I have a husband. I have a sighted husband. I have two kids who are actually my children, I guess at this point, are young adults. I have a daughter who just graduated college. I have a son who just graduated high school. And it's, you know, I guess pretty much a family like anybody else would have, except mom can't drive and mom can't read print anymore.
Right. So they help you with that. And they, since they grew up as kids, to them, I'm sure, they know how to approach people with disabilities, right?
They do, and they're really very comfortable with it. And what I think is very interesting is when they were younger, both of them thought at some point in their young development that I was faking because I was trying to catch them doing stuff that they weren't supposed to do. So I think that's kind of amusing.
What would you say about the workplace and disability? I know you speak about that. What do you think that you know, do you think sometimes this hurts people who apply for jobs and it shouldn't and it's discriminatory? And why is there that uptightness about that?
I think it absolutely is. And I think the reason it happens is just due to lack of education most of the time on the part of hiring managers and HR professionals. And the other thing is that, or one component to that, is that a lot of times people with disabilities, especially in a professional environment, a lot of times our resumes might reflect more volunteer experience than paid work experience, and especially if you're talking about individuals with fairly significant disabilities, meaning possibly some individuals who might use wheelchairs, people who are blind, people with a high level of involvement with cerebral palsy, some of those kinds of disabilities, people in those situations cannot perform typically the same unskilled kinds of jobs like fast food jobs that most people perform in high school and college. So they go to school, maybe they get a degree, but they've got tons of volunteer experience but not a lot of paid work experience because the lower level, lower skilled positions, they don't really qualify to be able to do. I hope that makes sense. So there's some disparity there when it comes to looking at their resumes, and I would like to be able to educate employers a little more in the course of my life and my career about things like that. And also, there are a lot of accommodations that people with disabilities have used for years, and we're very, very familiar with those accommodations, and they help us level the playing field, like my computer talks, my phone talks. There's all kinds of technology that I use to enable me to do my job, but there are a lot of employers that are not familiar with the entire scope of the kinds of accommodations that I might have at my disposal. And I think they're also not familiar with that with a lot of other employees, too.
Yeah, what would you say to people who encounter people with whatever disability, how they should behave? Just as themselves, act as themselves, and not try to take on what they think the person who has the disability should feel or try to take on any other kind of emotions or try to read something, you know, assume something into it?
Absolutely. And the biggest thing that I would say to somebody is speak directly to the person. If the individual with the disability is using a guide or a sign language interpreter or a personal attendant, don't speak to the attendant, the guide, or the interpreter. Speak directly to the person with the disability.
Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you when you've been out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially at restaurants are famous for that. And what I found very interesting is, you know, I've even seen a couple of communication professionals, professional speakers, who, you know, people that you would think they're communication pros, but even with them, if I have been with my husband, I've seen a couple of speakers even who have addressed questions to me, but they've looked at him, and it's kind of awkward, you know. So, I mean, it happens with everyone. Everybody does it. You know, we've all got the things that we don't know how to approach and we're uncomfortable,
yeah.
and you know, we kind of go back to our default behaviors on those, in those arenas. And I think that that even happens with speakers. So, you know, most of the time, I think most of us are not real thin-skinned, and you know, we can handle whatever you would say to anybody else, mm-hmm. yourself.
Yep.
And you know, don't worry about asking for help, or I'm sorry, offering help. Don't worry about offering help. But again, offer it and realize that we may decline.
Yep. Just like anybody else, just like anyone else. All right, so we have like a minute left, but tell me about Wella, the amazing dog. What about somebody that's got a dog and approaching the dog, a person who is using a guide dog? Is there something that we could learn from that?
Basically, it's even though it's very tempting because they're gorgeous dogs and they're friendly and they're wonderful, if you approach someone with a service animal, realize that it's the handler's choice whether or not they want anyone to interact with that animal. And I would say, as a rule, don't interact, especially with the guide dog, because they need to focus on getting their handler from place to place safely. And if they think that you might have a treat for them or want to play with them, that's a big distraction, and it can put both the dog and their handler in danger. But, you know, definitely ask, because there may be some situations where it would be appropriate to pet the dog or to interact with the dog. But, again, ask and know that the answer could be yes, the answer could be no.
Excellent. Perfect place to end this. Donna, do you have a website?
I do. My website is www.disabilitydiplomat.com.
Awesome. All right, Donna, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you so much, Kate.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just a ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126 serving three square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale price at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guy's fall chili special. Always free shipping to the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the fall chili special and three square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze dried and dehydrated foods available for long term storage, period.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Snap is Andrew Luck. Good protection. He stays in, stays in. He throws it out in the flat. Great catch by Dwayne Allen. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Dwayne Allen.
Denard Robinson, the running back. Under center is Bortles. They'll give it to Denard running to the left. Turn to through the corner. It's on the 5-yard line. That is Dwayne Allen. Touchdown, Jacksonville. How do you like that? Denard Robinson's first season.
And Rodgers to throw on first down. Blue Darter out of there to the right. Caught. Nelson, good yard. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. He cuts in for a touchdown.
Gets it away. High end over end. Austin watches it. It's going to bounce around. Far side. Picked up. Taken downfield across midfield. Going all the way. He's going to go untouched. He's getting tailed. And the Seahawks were watching, as was I, Austin, who was faking everybody out off the kick.
It's a fake. Johnny throws. Caught. 25-30. Benny Cunningham has got the football. Oh, my goodness. Jeff Fisher, what have you just done to the Seattle Seahawks? Oh, my goodness. An 18-yard completion. Johnny Hecker to Benny Cunningham. And that may well finish off Seattle here at the Edward Jones Dome.
Matthew looking at that defense. He's got a great job. Looks right. Throws. Angel got a man. Caught. Touchdown. Detroit Lions. Corey Fuller. Oh, baby. The Lions are next to point away from taking the lead.
Third down and goal from the 9. Paint empty backfield. Three-man rush. He bounces around and throws.
DT is there. Are they going to say touchdown? Touchdown. Demaryius Thomas.
move over Brett Favre and make room for the new king.
Here's the snap. Looking, Watkins waits. Waits, fires into the end zone, and he's caught for the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, touchdown Buffalo. Touchdown Sammy Watkins. Unbelievable. 1 second left on the clock. 1 second left. And the Bills have tied it up. The extra point for the win.
Needless to say, an interesting week once again in the NFL. I know it's like a broken record as far as this is concerned, but what do Ebola and the NFL have in common? For the last 3 weeks, I've been telling you, it's an interesting thing that's happening here. But it's strange, the scores that we're getting in the NFL. Matt, you're like me, and you're glued to this because you've got some fantasy teams. I've got some fantasy teams. And some of this is unpredictable, not so much from the players, because that's why the fantasy teams are still pretty solid, depending on some of the people that you assembled. But like the Dallas Cowboys, 6 straight win. The Giants look terrible. I can't imagine that Tom Coughlin, even with the 2 Super Bowl wins, isn't short for the world of New York. I mean, they get beat by Dallas 31-21, but the bigger story is they just can't close the deal at all.
Yeah, it was a strange week again, as it always is. And then, I mean, there was Cincinnati, I think, who has been playing pretty well this year. They didn't get a first down until
27-0.
Yeah, and they didn't get a first down until it was almost the second half, wasn't it? I can't even remember,
yeah.
But
second
they weren't
half.
Playing that well at all. And then my Vikings had the meltdown of the century, as per usual. I'm not even surprised by it anymore at this point.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's strange. You know, the Jacksonville beats Cleveland. And Jacksonville,
yeah,
they're all about the swimming
saw
pool.
That coming.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Seattle loses to St. Louis. I didn't see that coming. 28-26.
Great special teams plays with the fake.
Absolutely.
The fake punt return that was the first play that we heard there, where they basically made it look like Tavon Austin was going to return it on the right side, and then the ball was actually going to the left side of the field, but none of the players were finding out, and so the guy just catches it and has a clear path to the end zone, and then the big gamble at the end with Jeff Fisher calling for a fake punt, and they get the first down out of it and just ices the game.
Yeah, that might have been the most interesting play of the day, other than Washington. Washington winning on a field goal, and they win 19-17.
Your boy Colt McCoy.
I was just going to say, Texas. Who thought, you know, what's going on there? RG who? I mean, he's already third on the line now, so now we're down to number 3. It's crazy.
Yeah, but that's the story of the backup quarterback, is the guy on the bench is always the most popular person because as soon as their quarterback's failing, they want the backup to come in. And I remember, what is it, last year and then the beginning of this year, people were talking about, oh, the Redskins should trade Kirk Cousins for like a first or second round pick. And now he gets benched, and Colt McCoy, who's been bouncing around the league the last year, comes in and wins the game.
Yeah, yeah. Who would have thunk it? I mean, crazy. And your favorite team besides Minnesota, of course, Green Bay, the Cheeseheads unite. Once again, Green Bay rolls and over Carolina. So, you know, I can't say Carolina's chump changed 38-17.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Carolina's defense because
they
just
melted.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. So it was, it's interesting. There was also some, you know, football and sports in general is about records, too. So you have DeMarco Murray, who hits 100 again, so he has a career mark for the Cowboys. You have Manning, who breaks Favre's all-time touchdown record, which is crazy to think about that. And, you know, then in between, you have people with blown coverage and ridiculous kind of kinks in the armor when it comes to some of the defenses, things you wouldn't have thought that would happen that we talked about just now, Seattle coming off of a loss, especially the way they lost to the Cowboys, even though it's on the road. I would think, you know, this is the game they have, especially against St. Louis. So what's unpredictable in the NFL continues to be unpredictable. And this is week 7, and the wrap-up is Houston and Pittsburgh. And do the Steelers prevail in this, or who knows? Does Houston bounce back? Because, you know,
it's a matchup
not
that everybody's holding their breath, waiting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, holding your breath. I can't wait to see who wins this one. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's the all-important one. And then what's also strange is, if you're following college football at all, you have Mississippi And Mississippi State now in the top five, ranked in the top five. And that's not something you would have predicted. Florida State seemed like they had a walk in the park, but they're number two. But they lose the crown. They're not number one right now. And remember, because we have a playoff system in college football, the four teams at the end, that's the key thing, because the four teams are going to be the ones that are going to really vie for the national title, which makes sense. But can you imagine if, when it comes down to it, you have two teams from Mississippi and Mississippi State?
And they play each other at the end of the year, November 29th.
I know. How crazy is that?
So that'll be a big-time matchup, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's been strange a little bit in college football, too, if you're paying attention. And, of course, now we have the stage is set in Major League Baseball, and it's not going to be that rematch of 85. It's the Giants against the Royals. And while I think they won't admit it, but I think while television execs are cringing at that matchup, because I'm with you, people in Missouri listening to America Tonight, I think it's so cool that KC is back. I like the Royals. They're exciting to watch. And I hope the Royals win. I like the Cinderella team, and it's been so long since Cinderella has aged. So if Kansas City finds a way to get by the Giants, I'd be happy.
Actually, I think the ratings will be all right for this because of the Royals being in it. And you saw the Royals and Orioles had really nice ratings, but then the Giants and Cardinals, who everyone's kind of sick of seeing, the ratings for the NLCS were down this year, but the ALCS was way up. And so I think if you have that Royals team in there, a lot of people are following the story. They haven't been in it since 1985. A lot of people will be paying attention, I think.
What's a lot of people?
Enough. I think the ratings for the World Series.
Not 30 million like the Cowboys are getting. But
well, it's a different sport. It's a different sport. Baseball is no longer number one. The NFL is. The NFL, you could have Houston and Pittsburgh playing in the NFL going up against the World Series, and the NFL would win. But I think the overall ratings for the World Series this year will be up because of the Royals being in it.
All right, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to check the ratings every day to see if Matt's right, because I don't think the ratings will be up. But I, like Matt, I am a huge baseball fan. I grew up with, absolutely, the Philadelphia Phillies from the time I was a kid. So I love baseball, and I know I would watch, and I know I will watch. And the opener of the World Series on Tuesday night, the lefty gets the nod for San Francisco. Madison Bumgarner gets the call. That's not a surprise. And James Shields will pitch in game one for the Royals. I don't think that was ever a question either, so that it makes sense that those two would be the two that would go up against each other. So how about that? Bumgarner didn't do great. He didn't get the decision when they were trying to clinch the pennant against the Cards on Thursday night. But if you look at what he did during the season, he's an 18-game winner. And he's got a pretty chunky fastball, I would say, and he can stay in the game for pretty long. And I don't know. I think this first game is going to be fun. It's Tuesday. You know, when we do our sports shorts, of course, that we're going to be talking about. Coming up next on America Tonight, how about millennials and voting? Here we are, just weeks away from the midterm elections, and you can bet we're going to have a ton of election coverage, especially the 2 days prior to the election. There are a lot of people who have done early voting. And we've got coming up next Ryan Hawk, who's the author of Will America Fail? The Case for Hope. And he actually did a video a couple years ago that was huge, called If I Wanted America to Fail. So many people downloaded that and looked at it and everything else. And he talks about this key demographic of independent voters and what's going to happen with the independent voters. Are they going to, these millennials, are they going to swing because they were disappointed in Obama to the Democratic voters? Are they going to swing toward whoever the Republican candidate is? And it's interesting conversation about what to expect from the younger voters next on America Tonight.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, a natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also, explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, I'm John Rainey, Chief Financial Officer of United Airlines, and I'm honored to be the National Chair for the 2015 March for Babies campaign for the March of Dimes. United is a proud supporter of the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.org.
Question here, and here's the question: can the millennials save America? You think of the future, and you think of, you know, really, where are we headed? And how many have called in, and how often have we talked about this? So, the question is: Ryan Hauck, who's the author of "Will America Fail," joins us now. He's in our virtual green room. And is there the case for hope? That's the other part of that. So, Ryan, thanks for popping on with us.
Good to be with you, Kate.
When we talk about millennials and we talk about being disillusioned, to me, it turns out, and I know you talk about this too, that the millennials expect payoffs. So when they hear people say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, like Obama when he's running the first time around, they expect that those things are going to happen. And maybe we start with Obama and the first time around when he was running for the, 2008. Did that start the disenchantment of millennials who were all pumped up originally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the crux of it right there. 2008, millennials voted for Barack Obama. And in 2012, I think they voted against Mitt Romney. And the reality is that for millennials now, the signature political experience of their life is the promises of candidate Obama and the failures of President Obama. And these promises and these failures have real political consequences. I call it winners win and losers lose. Barack Obama as a president has been a loser. And Ronald Reagan created conservatives, but Jimmy Carter did too. Because historically, bad presidents create coalitions for the opposing party. And that's what we're starting to see now, is that millennials have gone from a solid Democrat constituency to now being up for grabs. Half of them now call themselves independents. That's an unprecedented figure. And that's something of a political protest vote. I think if we can find out how to talk to this generation, conservatives have a shot with them.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because the fact, if you are, Rentz Priebus, for example, you have to feel pretty good about the fact that you have a chance, at least, in throwing the net out. And as you said, there's a lot are saying that they're independent, and that's a big, chunky number. What do you think it is that conservatives need to do to reel them in?
You know, I think the key, and I'm probably not the first person to say this, but the evidence increasingly bears it out, is that we got to talk to them about economic issues, and we got to focus our economic case on personal freedom. This is a generation that designs its own sneakers, flavors its own soda, builds its own playlist. They've been raised and inculcated in this notion of personal freedom. And our case on social issues is going to be much tougher with them. But if we present ourselves authentically and truly as the party of personal freedom, and I think we are, we're going to be able to talk to them. The problem in 2012 is what I call the idiot issue. The idiot issue is the thing that everybody knows about, even if they don't know anything about politics. And last cycle, it was same-sex marriage. Every millennial, even if he knew nothing else, had an opinion on same-sex marriage, and it became the very basis for how many of these millennials self-identified politically. And I think as a result, many of them called themselves liberals based on their social views. And we start to see that when we dig deeper into the data, is that they have some startlingly conservative views on economic matters. And what we need to do as conservatives is figure out how to make those issues become ascendant in elections as opposed to the social issues.
Yeah, so maybe almost try to just zero in on that instead of broadening it out too much, which is always the problem, you know that, where you get it. Once you get deep into same-sex marriage especially, I call it the third rail. It is the third rail. You said it so well. And it's a different point of view from millennial. So it really is getting inside the head of the younger generation, because let's face it, for the conservative movement to continue and thrive, you do have to have fresh blood, don't you?
Oh, I think that's true. And on the issue of gay marriage, I'll be honest with you, I've wrestled with it myself. I don't think that anyone should put their politics ahead of their principles, but here's what we should do. We should ask ourselves if our view of limited government and personal freedom is consistent with our position on same-sex marriage. Until we have a compelling answer to that question, don't expect millennials to believe that we stand for personal freedom, regardless of how much we say it. The good news is, though, you look at 2008, you got about 7 out of 10 millennials saying government should do more to solve big problems. Today, only about 3 in 10 say it should take an active role. 2-1, millennials say federal government's hurting rather than helping the economy. 3-1, they say the federal government should cut taxes. Only 11% support more federal spending. The numbers are trending in our generation. We've just got to activate and animate those issues rather than allowing social issues to become the club that the left beats us with every cycle.
Yeah. Hey, when you pumped out on YouTube, it was huge. If I Wanted America to Fail, I mean, you had like almost 3 million viewers on YouTube, just on YouTube. Did you realize that you had really struck a nerve?
Yeah, you know, the thing that was most commonly said was, you said something I'd been feeling but couldn't quite express. And I think that's what makes videos like that successful. We based our 2012 video, If I Wanted America to Fail, on Paul Harvey's If I Were the Devil, which was a wonderful essay that he did in the 60s and then I think brushed up again a couple decades later. But But partly as a result of that, I'm better known for my pessimism than my optimism. And a lot of conservatives, I mean, I don't know about you, Kate, but a lot of conservatives thought Barack Obama's reelection sealed our fate. And I was one of them. But I was consumed by the question, why did my generation, the generation most demonstrably harmed by this president, send him to the White House twice? And that question led to others like, is this China's century? Is the revolution of our founders now obsolete? And then ultimately, will America fail, which became the title of the book.
Yeah. If the Republicans, I'll say, Republicans slash the conservative side, if they lose the millennials this time around, especially in the presidential race, because now we're talking, you know, you got midterms coming up, but then you have the presidential stuff 2016, but you and I know that's already, you know, there's already movement in the ocean out there. Does that mean we're going to keep going down the path of electing a lot of Democrats? I mean, that to me, that's pretty scary because another president that is a two-termer, and then we'd go into another Democrat.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I don't know exactly what's going to happen in 2014 or 2016. My book takes a two-decade-long view of this. So I believe that by the time we're looking at the 2030s, that a lot of positive indicators, not only political, but social, cultural, and economic, will begin to favor the right. The long-term trend that we ought to watch as conservatives is millennials increasingly becoming a toss-up generation at the same time that boomers, who have grown reliably conservative later in life, enter what's called their peak voting years, which will be between 60 and 80 years old. And that could create potentially something of a turnabout in national elections. As long as conservatives can actively make a play for millennials by speaking this language of personal freedom, I think there's a real opportunity between boomers and millennials becoming more of a toss-up generation to turn things around at the national level. What folks should look at is the fact that younger millennials, those who don't remember George W. Bush, but really remember Barack Obama, he's the president that they grew up with, they're more likely to be conservative than older millennials, about 40% of them. They're even more likely to call themselves Republican than the general population. So I think there's some positive signs for us long term.
Yeah. You know, talking about you really becoming a big hit on YouTube, et cetera, that's part of the deal. You've got to understand the tools for the millennials, right, and how to reach them.
I think that's true. And, you know, we talk about it a lot, but it's truly hard to underestimate the importance of technology. Every generation uses it. Millennials are the first to wrap their lives in it. It's a cultural artifact for them. It's something that they've used since they were little. Their parents invented computers, personal computers, and put them in their homes, and so they've grown up with them. And so we're the first generation that's truly accustomed to using this technology at all times of the day. And that means a lot of different things. It means we're getting a lot of news from alternative sources. Already, the most vibrant debates are taking place not on the three major networks. They're taking place on radio and on cable and online. And that trend, that type of media fragmentation, is going to continue. And I think probably positively for conservatives. The left has controlled these institutions only because they could be controlled, historically speaking. But in the future, it's not going to be possible to control major sources of news and entertainment and even education because they're going to fragment thanks to technology.
Yeah. Wow, good stuff. All right, we'll be watching Will America Fail? Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the show. Pick it up at Amazon and feel better.
Thanks, Kate. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 square-foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.